this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
The Reading chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Where we invite you to listen now to an encore presentation, originally aired on January 3rd of this year, of We the People. Aaron, Bill, and all of us here at AM 1460 KCNR wish you a very happy Easter. Aaron and Bill will be back live next week. Special guests on this edition of We the People, Pastor Guy Asherman and Shelley Gibbs. So enjoy this encore presentation of We the People next on AM 1460 KCNR.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, baby.
I'm getting that good afternoon thing down.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
Much better.
I'm really working on it. Hey, so this is Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And together we actually become We the People. Otherwise, we're just knuckleheads.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, first show of the new year. So, of course, we're going to hold with tradition, and we're going to have Pastor Guy Asherman on from Reading Christian Fellowship. Been a big year for Christian everything. Persecution, weird laws, all sorts of stuff around the world and actually in our own country. So while we're waiting for him, because he actually has church until noon, I think it is, we
What's up with that?
I know. Hey. I know. He had to stay till the end because he's in front and they would notice if he was missing. And so his idea, actually, when he got a hold of me a couple weeks ago, was to also have Shelley Gibbs, the executive director for CareNet, on at the same time because, obviously, we've heard tons of stuff about Planned Parenthood. And CareNet is like the alternative to Planned Parenthood, I guess. I'm sure she'll correct me, but in my humble opinion, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
It's the other option.
I kind of like, I put this all on the website, by the way. It's wethepeopleradio.us, and you can find all the information about our guests and how to contact them and stuff we'll be talking about. And I've heard the chat room's having problems, so if you're listening live on Sunday, you may have issues. Folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey, you don't have to worry about that. You can just, you know, sit back and listen. But CareNet and the and our network of more than 1,100 pregnancy centers offer hope to women facing unplanned pregnancies by providing practical help and emotional support. They have choices. Imagine that. They have options. So the pro-choice people hate their choices, which is kind of funny. But that's kind of the way it always works. So let's see. I had Shelley's bio sitting right here, and now it's missing. Shelley, are you in there? Can you save save me from my own fishing trip here through my email that didn't come up as quickly as I needed it? How long have you been the executive director?
I have been for about 3.5 years. I came on staff in late August of 2012, and prior to that, I had been a board member for about 3 years as well.
Ah, so you decided to come on right when everything was getting
warmed up.
Exciting.
Yeah, and it's just now getting even more exciting. So,
yeah, we have some California laws that are coming up that we weren't really going to go through today just because that kind of leaves the guys on the East Coast hanging, and you guys are involved in that with your organization, so we didn't want to put you in the crosshairs on that. Can you give us an idea of what it is, you know, regardless of position and all that?
Just, as far as the bill that was recently passed, the law?
Yeah. What
okay, absolutely. All right, well, I'll just speak to that a little bit, and if you have any questions in between, just jump in with me. But in essence, a very large organization referred to as NARAL partnered with Planned Parenthood and an assemblyman out of District 17 named David Chu. And they had been writing publications over the last few years about kind of what a joke pregnancy centers are. And how because they're not offering all of the options, and what they mean by that is because pregnancy centers are not offering abortion, that they should kind of come at us and say, look, you need to be either offering all of those options, and if you don't, then you need to refer for them. So they put together this bill in which would force all faith-based pregnancy centers across the state of California, and there's approximately 200, some of which are medical and some of which are non-medical. And that's a whole other category of how those are defined. But to say that these 200-plus clinics are fake clinics is what they referred to all of us as. And we were lumped in, I guess they went around and kind of like a secret shopper and investigated some different clinics throughout the state and found a common thread that we weren't offering all of the choices in an appropriate manner. And so this bill then passes, is then passed. It was passed by the Assembly in the summer, later passed by the Senate in the fall and signed by Governor Brown on Friday, October 9th, that went into law, which is now in effect as of January 1, that states that all pregnancy centers in the United States, I mean in the state of California, must refer for abortions and make sure that every woman has immediate and free access to an abortion and as well as contraception. So it has to be posted. The bill is specific. If you want to go to, it's public knowledge. It's AB 775, and it goes through and it talks about the requirements for pregnancy centers. So there is a handful, I would say under 50 of the 200, because we're all separate entities and we're all our own nonprofits. There was not one larger entity that is a class action suit. So as an example, Pacific Justice Institute is representing us. ACLJ is representing other centers. And they would kind of pick and choose who they were going to represent. And there's co-plaintiffs. So these particular pregnancy centers that said, hey, this is a breach of the First Amendment. You can't force us to share this information if it's against our religious beliefs, etc. And then trying to create a platform of actually like, okay, so what's some of your findings, whether they're true or false or some of them are made up, whatever those are, actually, let's have a conversation about them. But to pass a bill without having the conversation and to say, no, we're not going to talk to you about it, we're just going to force this down your throat. So so far, the suits that have been presented have been denied. So there's many people of these pregnancy centers in California that are saying, okay, what's the next step? So as an example, our chief counselor is Kevin Snyder, from Pacific Justice Institute based out of Sacramento, California. And I just spoke with him this last week, and he said, look, we're going to continue to pursue this. I will keep you in the loop. We're not going public with anything yet. So that looks like potentially if there would be an appeal, I can't speak to that. I'm not saying that we're appealing it. In the interim until we figure out what the next step is, which it'll be very telling this next week, depending upon... I'll pick on you, Aaron. Say
okay.
That you walked in my pregnancy center,
right,
and you said, I don't see that sign posted. I'm going to go over to the county. I'm going to rat you out. The county then comes back to me, if and when they can do that, with manpower and says, here is a notice for you, Shelley. And since you don't have it posted, you have 30 days to get this posted. If I don't post it within 30 days, I get a $500 fine. So you come in again and you say, oh, well, it's been 30 days. She didn't post it yet. You go back in, you make a phone call or whatever you do, you tell on me again. They come back and say, not only have you not paid your $500 fine, you haven't posted it, now it's $1,000. And subsequently after that, it stays at $1,000 and fines every pregnancy center that does not adhere to the law.
Wow.
So that's a summary of kind of where we're at and where what all pregnancy centers will be facing this next week. As soon as everyone's been closed for the new year. So when we reopen on Monday, it'll kind of be that same vantage point of, okay, just let's see what happens with that.
So what's different? I mean, as far as the new law, is it saying that you have to offer abortions at your facility, or that you just have to refer them to somebody who can?
We have to refer.
Okay. Okay.
So,
and that's
the language is pretty specific in that it's, you know, as much as they, I'll say they, I'll lump them all together, but as much as they spent the time and the energy, the thousands of dollars or whatever went into lobbying all of this and to getting this pushed through, the statement is fairly small. So as an example, I'm not downsizing it by any means, but they went through all this trouble, and I believe with all of my heart that this is just step one.
Yeah.
So the exact verbiage, I'll just read it to you, that is required by the state of California, that is, you know, been pushed through with law that Governor Brown signed. It says California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraception, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact, and then we have to fill in our county social service office and the number for that office.
Well, okay, so on one hand, people are probably thinking, well, that's good, so if they don't have the money to do it, they can access that. But that's kind of stupid because your services are free.
Our services are already free, yes,
right.
Absolutely. And if a young girl, and this is another thing with the state of California, it's actually coming in for vote again in November of 16, but it's the Parental Consent Act. So right now in the state of California, it is that if you are 12 years old or older, you can walk into the abortion clinic right in Reading or Planned Parenthood and say, I would like an abortion. You don't need proof of income. You don't need an ID. And they have you fill out paperwork for the state family pack. That is the state budget that approves contraception, abortion, etc. So, you know, I'll pick on myself. I have a daughter who's almost 12. You know, in a few months, my daughter can walk in the abortion clinic if she was sexually active and found herself to be pregnant. And without my knowledge, now she can't take an aspirin at school.
I was just
going to
say
that. She can't go to West
that.
Camp.
Yeah.
You know, she can't go to West Camp without a doctor's note with all of the medicine in the prescribed bottle, unopened, given to the nurse. Like, I could go on for days about all that. But she can't do any of those things, but she can walk in off the street. And my tax dollars that I don't have a choice about go into the state family pack budget, and it will pay for my daughter to have an abortion without me ever knowing.
So
the fact that these services are free, I mean, any girl, even kids that are homeless, to be honest with you, they have a smartphone or they've got an Obama phone.
Sure.
They know where to get an abortion. They don't need to come into a pregnancy center that's faith-based to say, oh, well, I want one. Where can I get one? This whole year that this bill has come through and been pushed around, we get fake calls all of the time. We get fake calls and fake emails.
Oh, really?
And we know the difference. Oh, absolutely. We know the difference between when someone is truly seeking help and maybe they're on the fence and they're waning between what they want to do. Maybe they are struggling. Maybe they are homeless. Maybe they are totally unplanned pregnancy. And we do actually talk to them about their options. It's referred to as options counseling. And that's on our website. We talk about that. Like, hey, you've got three options in front of you. You can have this baby. You can put your child up for adoption. And you can have an abortion. Hey, because we are faith-based, we can help educate you on abortion so that you're not going in blind, but we definitely don't refer for them. We're not condoning it, but we want to make sure that you're making the most educated choice for you. What you choose to do is your choice. This is how we can help you. This is what we do. These are our free services. And a girl knows where she can get an abortion. She talks to her best friend, or she talks to her boyfriend, or he drives her down there. You know, every Wednesday in Shasta County is what they refer to as procedure day. You walk in the door, it's free. You know, it's so if you're under 12 weeks, you can get a free abortion. And so this thing that they're pushing through with the bill, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm on my soapbox right now. I just get really excited.
No, it's okay. It's kind of a soapbox issue.
It's just so in our faith. And one of the things that's really unique, whether you are a believer or not, this is not a faith-based issue. This goes back to in the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century, in the early 1900s, when Planned Parenthood was actually established with Margaret Sanger, who was their founder, these clinics were going in the ghetto.
Yep.
And if you read anything about Margaret Sanger, you can read all of her quotes about how Jews and blacks were just should be extinguished. So the purpose was to put these clinics in these neighborhoods so that they would stop reproducing and that we could have a clean white race.
Yep, she was a big time eugenicist and
communist, absolutely.
She was a scary woman. We have to take a really quick break here, and we're going to come right back. I've got your bio now on the website. I put all the stuff about CareNut, and I got so carried away with cutting and pasting, I sort of forgot.
That's all right.
If folks are listening live on Sunday afternoon, you should refresh your page. You can see the rest of the info. You're listening to We the People Radio. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of We the People from January 3rd of this year on AM 1460 KCNR.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner.
Signs, signs, everywhere signs, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs?
Special little shout out there to Planned Parenthood. It might be some kind of sinner. Yep, I'll just say it because I'm not a pastor, and I don't work for CareNet, so I can slide that in there. So Shelley, you guys are an alternative, but you provide a lot of the same similar services. You do pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, parenting classes, and it also says here material assistance. So before we get too carried away in the issue itself. You're supported privately, I'm assuming. Donation?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a faith-based nonprofit, so we're just supported by the local community, pastors and churches, business people, anyone that has a vested interest in supporting families in our community in this way.
Okay, so for people who are, you know, there are a lot of people who listen to this and they're mad and it's like, what can I do about it? Support your local CareNet. Are they all called CareNet? Is CareNet the umbrella name over all of them?
They're not all called CareNet. We have the option to choose to be an affiliate, and we have the option to choose to utilize their name. So there are centers all over the state of California, and many of them are CareNet affiliates, but they might have a different name. An example would be Living Well Medical Clinic in Grass Valley, California. They're a CareNet affiliate, but they don't go by the name.
Okay.
Sacramento Pregnancy Center is another example.
So for somebody who doesn't know anything about this stuff, like me, I'm a good example of that, and who, you know, I don't have any young kids anymore or anything. So how would I know if the center in my area that's not called Planned Parenthood, I mean, that's a clue right there. So it's not called Planned Parenthood, so it might be a good one, and I'd like to support it. How would they know?
Whether it was faith-based or not?
Yeah, well, how would they know if it was a good place to, you know, what are some things to look for if it's a good outfit to support or not?
Well, I think that if you have a vested interest and you want to know where your money's going, from a practical standpoint, at the ground level, I think people should just walk in the door. You should walk in the door, ask a couple questions, ask for a tour of the facility, meet some of the team, and look and see, like, okay, what services are you offering? See if they have any type of things that they publish, like if it's a quarterly newsletter, or do they send out an annual Christmas card, or how do they communicate with their donor base? What are their special events? I would attend an event, you know. There's usually, on an annual basis, a Walk for Life that's hosted in the community, as well as some type of fundraising banquet or gala. And so attending an event is a good way to get an overview of the organization and where they're currently at and where they're going, perhaps even some history. And so I would encourage people just to walk in their community and say, hey, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. And even through this bill, we've had many people in the community say, look, this is wasn't on my radar, and all these videos that have come out this year, and I want to have an interest. So whether people choose to donate an in-kind donation, like, oh, my kids have outgrown these baby items, I want this to go directly to a family, or they donate, you know, diapers or wipes, or they have a monetary donation. We also do an event throughout the year called a baby bottle drive that businesses and churches host, where you fill up a baby bottle with cash, check, or coin, and you return that back to the center. So that's another way to give on a practical level. Or if you just want a one-time donation, or a lot of donors say, look, I specifically want to give you this money, and I want to designate it toward your baby boutique, or I want this to specifically go toward this family for this reason. So there's many things that come in that we have an option. You know, just recently at Christmas, we had some donors contact us and say, we want to help pay for you people's utility bills. If you know a couple families that are really struggling at Christmas, we'd like to do that. Another donor base came in and said, look, we want to adopt 5 families for Christmas and buy everyone all their Christmas presents. So we don't have a Christmas gift program, but just out of relationship, these things develop. And people say, look, I have a vested interest in who you're serving. I love to see what you're doing and what you're about. So it's a beautiful way to impact the community.
Nice. So for all the people that are thinking, well, all these guys do is talk them out of an abortion, and then they're stuck with a baby they can't handle. You know, if you're helping people with their electrical bill, it kind of sounds like you're doing slightly more than that.
Well, that is a big misconception anyway when you're on, I'll say, at the other side of the fence. And we're not trying to be on one side of the fence or the other. We don't even spend time being against something. This bill came at us hard and strong, and we spend our time and energy, like, helping families. Like, when we have, we barely advertise. We don't have a big, huge marketing budget, you know. It's word of mouth and people finding us on the internet saying, look, where can I get a free pregnancy test? And it starts with that. It's a practical need that needs to be met. Or maybe someone already knows that they want to keep their child. They're not on the fence about what their options are, but they're really struggling financially. They don't feel equipped. Maybe it's their first baby. We are so connected to all the different public government agencies in the city, whether it's the First 5 program, WIC program, Nurse Family Partnership, Shasta County Public Health. Like, all of these people come and refer clients to us saying, look, this is how CareNet can help you. This is how it can make an impact. So walking them through their pregnancy, if they're you know, 15 years old or 18 or 21 or 35, and they might all be in a different season of their life, but maybe they're ill-equipped. So we've got pregnancy education, we've got labor and delivery classes, we've got parenting classes. We do group settings and then one-on-one as well. And so, and it goes on and on. We've got post-abortion counseling as well. So it's something that wherever they're at, we want to meet them where they're at and help them get to that next season of their life and to see them thrive and not be struggling and not be burdened and not be in this cycle of generational poverty and feeling stuck. And a lot of girls, a lot of times, and guys, abortion may be their first option because they know it's free. And to them, it's not a child yet. It's an it, and they can just get rid of it, and they can move on with their life. And there's a lot of repercussions physically, emotionally, spiritually that can happen from that. But that, again, is their choice. We still want to be available to them. Like, hey, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. So whatever you choose, we're gonna be with you and walk you through that choice. So we also have a mentoring program that if someone did choose abortion and they're not doing well, or they just need some extra help, or maybe their test is negative and they're just in the funky season of their life. So kind of just are here in the community, free services with open arms.
Nice. And Bill brought up something during the break. He was, you know, we didn't want to make our time with you actually all about Planned Parenthood, because that completely misses the boat. So I wanted to make sure that we got all that information out, but now we have all these questions. Okay, so a 12-year-old goes into an abortion clinic and goes through with it, does have an abortion, and they have some sort of problem. I mean, what happens to them?
Yeah, what point do they contact the parents? And then who foots the bill for that, and who's responsible?
Well, I can't speak to every detail of that process, only because I am not in the middle of that process, but, intimately involved. I do know that if she does have complications, she can go back to the clinic and they'll do what they can within reason, where let's just say that they didn't get all of the baby out and they need to go back in and take out the rest of the baby and she has an infection. They might prescribe her antibiotics, and they're still not going to contact her parents.
Wow.
And that girl is most likely not going to go to her parents or even a medical clinic, say that their family's on Medi-Cal. She knows that Medi-Cal is going to get billed. Mom might get a notification that she went to the doctor. She's not going to go to, Shasta Community Health Center or Hilltop Medical Clinic or her local doctor, her main medical provider, because someone's going to find out about that. So a lot of times, when it's all behind the scenes and in secret, if there are complications, and this is all public knowledge, like you can read about the statistics with this, you can read about teenage pregnancies and STDs, 15 to 19 years old, etc. But all of those things that they're exposed to, let's just keep this in the dark. And if it's such a, it's like a devil's advocate thing. If it's not a dark and dirty thing, why are you hiding it?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's so amazing and it's such a powerful choice, then why are you so sneaky about the whole thing? And why are you taking people's money without communicating where that money's going? So it's very unique, and I don't want to spend all our time either talking about this, but I want to point out...
kind of curious because, there are a lot of people who, they, like me, my kids were little in the 80s, and you just didn't have that.
Right.
Just didn't. I mean, I'm sure it existed out there, but it wasn't as commonplace as it is now. But over this last year, for all those of us who didn't know squeak about Planned Parenthood, I think you only needed to see one of those videos to just absolutely have your, hair blown back. Like, they're doing what? So then all of a sudden, and that's actually how I first heard you speak. It was right on the heels of all the videos and all the awareness there. And looking at how we can, take our tax dollars back from things like that. And Bob pointed out.
And many people aren't aware of that.
Oh yeah. And Bob pointed out too that, for our folks in Philadelphia that'll listen on Monday, they had, Dr. Gosnell, I think the word doctors kind of use that word loosely, but there's a lot of scary stuff that goes on in that world. So for all the touting of how it's, free and available and we need to make that available to everyone, doesn't sound like there's a lot of caring in a lot of situations. And programs like yours are all about supporting them long term, not when their kids are in college, but I mean, it isn't just like you're pregnant or you're not, and here's your pregnancy test and see ya. There's a lot more to that.
It's actually so they become like part of our family in essence. And what we get comments all of the time. People like, we can't believe how nice everyone is here. We can't believe you guys remember our name. I go to my doctor's office and they don't even know who I am. They're wondering why I'm there. Or, you know, I go to this clinic and I have to start all over with all of my stuff. And it's just the way our team is. It's the spirit of the center. Like, you walk in and it's just different. And so we have the opportunity to walk them through their pregnancy, and we have resources all the way through their child's third year. So it's almost 4 years that we can be in relationship with them if they choose to be in the program that long. And it's pretty phenomenal, the impact that we're having in the hundreds and hundreds of families that we serve. And there are people that just like, hey, I just need pregnancy verification. Absolutely, let's get you everything you need and what else do you need. And they may have said five different ways as we were facilitating their intake information that they need help with food, or they need help with, they're in transitional housing, or they don't have a doctor. And we're able to refer them to all these other places in the community that we're in relationship with. You know, a lot of times we'll find that girls don't have a doctor, they don't have insurance, and they find out they're pregnant. And we are connected to three amazing OB clinics that are not, you know, shouting from the rooftops, but they're faith-based. Like, these are legitimate agencies that are in relationship with us that say, you know what, we don't want people to go without care, especially in their first trimester. Refer them to us. We will see them without their insurance, even if it's pending. We'll figure it out. We'll backfill. We'll do whatever we have to do. And the heart of these clinics, as well as ours, is to make sure that people have the care that they need and they are being taken care of. And we've only heard, you know, on the outside from when people have been to the abortion clinic of, hey, this is how I was treated, or they didn't even care, or, you know, I don't, and this is a whole other subject matter, how in the world is a surgical procedure for a 12-year-old an outpatient procedure?
Yeah, no kidding.
She doesn't have pre-op, she doesn't have post-op, she doesn't have counseling, she's not meeting with a doctor, and yet they're going to rip a life out of her womb. If you had a skin graft, you would have all of those things that would take place. But when it comes to the subject matter, politically, religiously, whatever category you want to put it in, it gets all convoluted and twisted and hidden. And now all of a sudden it's a secret and no one needs to know. And our heart is that people are making an educated decision. You know, another example would be that if you want an ultrasound, the only way you can have an ultrasound at the abortion clinic is if you say you want to have an abortion. That's so that they can find where the baby is so they know where to take it out.
Oh.
They're not actually showing you the ultrasound and equipping you and educating you on the heartbeat, fetal development, how big the baby is, showing you pictures of development stages and having you make a decision based on that.
Well, it sounds like most of the time it's kind of geared toward a single, we'll call it a goal. We have to take another really quick break. We're going to come right back. We're speaking with Shelley Gibbs from our local CareNet. And you should check in your own community and see what's available for folks in your community that want alternatives to the Planned Parenthood machinery, I guess, for lack of a better word. You can find information about that on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Condit from January 3rd of this year. Stay tuned for more on AM 1460 KCNR. And happy Easter.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors.
Chronic Disaster Services, they do it all. Zach Bay at State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor in Reading. James Luna at Gold Star Mortgage and Trinity Termite, they get those bugs.
Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community, the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Don't you love the life you chill? The priest is on the phone. Your father hit the wall. Your mom disowned you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. To me, to be a man. There's something I can change. I live around here.
Welcome back. You're joining We the People Radio. We are speaking with Shelley Gibbs, Executive Director for CareNet. And Pastor Guy Asherman, our other guest, has arrived. He said 12:45, apparently, you know.
So it's 12:45.
Apparently you know your schedule.
Well, I try.
So you and Shelley have spoken together, you know, as a team before.
Yes, we have.
Bunches of times. You know,
we're great supporters of Shelley. She does a great job.
Exactly.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi there.
So, okay, so. Well, Bill had a thing right before the break.
I had a situation here a few months ago at my place of employment. We had a company that came in to service our first aid kit. We have a big kit that hangs on the wall, and somebody had put some aspirin and some antacids in that first aid kit. And he took them out, brought them up to the front counter and said, hey, you can't have these in your first aid kit. You can get sued for administering health care. That's illegal.
Those darn antacids. You never know what's
in
them.
Well, yeah, yeah. So I just find it ironic that as an employer, you can't supply an employee with an aspirin or an antacid, but the state says it's okay for a 12- or 13-year-old kid to go in and get an abortion. And, I mean, a surgical procedure and not tell their parents. It's just so bizarre. I mean, where are we living?
How long has that been in existence? And is it everywhere or just in stupid California?
Well, California is actually leading the nation, but there is there's 11 states that have that in place. So there's 39 that don't and 11 that do. And so we are one of the 11 that allows that for that age group.
Interesting. So in the past, if somebody came in to your, if somebody comes into a center like yours, you know, whether it's a CareNet center or it's something like that, it's a not Planned Parenthood center, you were never required to give abortion as an option, but I'm pretty sure you probably had that conversation a lot of times with people.
No, we do. I mean, it's not every clinic is that way. I mean, we do post in our paperwork that we're very upfront about it. When they come in, and every person that walks in and is requesting a service, they fill out a paperwork, just one sheet, really quick. And it's stated on there that we do not refer for abortions. We're forthcoming about that, but we do discuss their options with them. And so one of their options is abortion, and we do have information. It's actually, there's some that are published by non-faith-based entities, and then there's some that are published by faith-based entities. An example of that would be, we have a couple pamphlets that focus on the family, produces and publishes and provides to pregnancy centers, but they got medical doctors and involved in that process, and we have information about the morning after pill and the abortion pill. And then we've obtained what we refer, it's a flip chart, and that is actually discusses abortion procedures. So we don't stick that in people's faces. We don't, you know, have it right in front of them as soon as they walk in the door and say, here, we're trying to scare you. Or, we don't use scare tactics. We just meet them where they're at. They bring up the subject and they have questions or they want to talk about it. We want to make sure that they get the information.
So the difference in the new law is, even though you were letting them know that abortion was an option, the new law says you have to take it a step further and actually give them a referral for an abortion,
right,
if that's the way they want to go. In the past, you would give them the information, and then they would make that decision and seek out that service somewhere else.
Right.
Okay.
And it's really easy to find it.
Oh, sure, sure. It's,
yeah, no
it's
kidding.
It's not a secret. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, so since you're here with us, what do you see at your church with things like this? What do you hear?
Well, of course, we work very closely with Shelley on some of these issues. And our church is very alarmed. We are trying to strategize a little bit in terms of, when they come knocking on our door, what are we going to do? I don't think it's wise to wait until an event takes place. And what's happening, of course, with CareNet here in Reading is impacting our ministry. So it's certainly heightened our awareness and our concern and our teaching, our whole sense of responsibility before God, which is a higher authority than government.
Higher than Jerry Brown?
Much higher. Yeah.
Wow.
So
just wanted to clear that up.
But I think the church as a whole needs to really visit these issues of sovereignty.
Sure.
And what do we do when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, because, okay, let's say Shelley's facility was an offshoot of your church or sponsored by your church, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a service that you guys provide in your church,
mm-hmm.
but it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Are you subject to this new law then? Not that you have this, but, you know, if you did.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question, Aaron, because as I understand, and Shelley, please correct me if I'm wrong, but CareNet is a 501c3 charitable religious corporation. It's exactly the same
status as a church.
As churches.
Sure.
Most of them, anyway, 99%.
But if they're
them.
Not technically a church, is that how they're getting away with it? Or?
Well, I don't. Legally, there's no difference.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
And so, you know, so what the church needs to ask itself today is, if they can do this there, they can do it anywhere. And we anticipate fully that they are going to. In terms of, you know, how does the situation with CareNet impact Reading Christian Fellowship? I think it impacts all ministries. We all do ministry together.
Sure.
We refer people to Shelley's organization. And if this is the situation, this all impacts, you know, who do we refer to, who do we not refer to? I think what's happening at CareNet now permeates all ministries.
Sure. It's no longer freedom of religion.
It's exactly.
It's freedom of religion until the state wants to be in control of part of it, in which case they tell you what to do, and then you can still be the boss of the rest of it until they decide they want to be involved in that too.
And here's an interesting thought. Even for people who may not take issue with this particular law, even if somebody is listening and disagrees with Shelley or disagrees with me, they tend to just kind of write it off and say, oh, well. They should not do that. Because, you see, the sacred veil has been pierced.
Yeah, it's coming for you. Yeah.
And if they can go after them, they can come after me. It may be on a different issue. You know, and if we don't stand together, we'll all hang individually.
So. Mm-hmm.
And so even for people who may disagree on some of the issues, I think it's imperative for all churches to say, this is not okay. Stop. Because, again, the floodwaters are coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's another interesting thought. At least I think it is.
Well, you're far away. Yeah.
You judge me. what the state does with folks is it holds over their head their approval or disapproval of your message. Okay? If they disapprove of your message, what they say is we will charge you cash monies because you're not doing it the way we want to.
That's what she was saying, like $500 the first round, or no, you get a warning, then you get 30 days, then it's going to cost you $500.
And so if you think about that, and that would also refer to the area of taxes as well.
Yes.
That, therefore, you've divided ministry into two groups. You have divided ministry into those who are approved by the state and those who are not approved by the state. And when that happens, you have established a state church, which, of course, is obviously in violation of the First Amendment.
Which would be obviously why we came here in the first place.
Yeah. But I think that the government is very, very close to doing that right now. And I don't expect, if things continue the way they're going now, I don't expect that the law of the land is going to protect us.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been real solid.
No.
In the recent past. We need to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. We got our breaks all fouled up. We were chatting. We chatted through the breaks. Imagine that. We'd never do that. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to an encore presentation of We the People from January 3rd of this year on AM 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State, KCNR.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location, so check out solar. Maybe able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry.
I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Didn't have to keep it, wouldn't put you through it. You could have swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. No, you wouldn't do it. And you're having a baby.
We're having flashbacks.
Yeah.
We're time traveling, Bob.
It wouldn't be a hit song today.
No, and back then, you totally weren't thinking about all this stuff.
No, not at all.
I completely forgot about that song. Bob never forgets anything. If it's a musical,
yes.
Like he's like the vault. All right, Shelley, what are we missing? What have we not discussed with you? We have 2 minutes, so you know, feel free to expand on anything.
You can take my time too.
We're sharing.
The one thing, it was a kind of a fleeting thought where we ended right before the break, is just that the two main demographics where all of this started, you know, approximately 100 years ago, those same parties, and what I was talking about is Planned Parenthood being in the ghetto with Jews and blacks.
Yep.
It blows my mind, it breaks my heart, and it really needs to be something that we as American people pay attention to. The women, Jewish Women of America and Black Women of America, co-sponsored this bill.
What?
So the very people that, where it all started, that demographic, and those were the main numbers, and actually African Americans are the number one demographic of the highest rate of abortions, they are the ones that are actually co-laboring with, you know, the government to say, yes, we're behind this. This needs to happen. Abortions need to be free and accessible to every woman. And so, you know, whatever is going to come at us with government, we just need to be aware of where it's coming from and how it's coming, and that not so much that we spend a ton of time and energy with rebuttals, but that we are prepared, like, hey, you know what, actually, this is what we're doing. And that's been our biggest thing, even with writing declarations for this lawsuit with Pacific Justice Institute, is to say, look, we don't need to focus on all that over there. This is what we're doing. This is how we serve the community. You know, how can you go into Good News Rescue Mission, you know, our local homeless shelter, and say, we don't like the fact that you're preaching the gospel. You should be telling people about Muslims or Islam or the Quran. Like, what's next is my point. And so,
yeah, if they can get their foot in the door.
Right.
All
right. And it just depends on what the subject matter is for the day, what the flavor is of the day. And right now for 16, as we walk into this new year, it's a pretty big subject matter. But we're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep blessing families and helping people right where they're at. And we try to be very good stewards with donors' finances, whether it's monetary or an in-kind donation, and just really get people involved. So we're always in need of volunteers and people getting more exposed to this subject matter in our city.
Well, that's important to know, because there are so many things people can't affect. This is something where you can actually go in and make a huge difference, whether they help you with finances or stuff or time or whatever. So if this is an issue you're passionate about, figure out a way to get involved. It's totally worth it. Thank you so much, Shelley. We hope you're enjoying your... You guys getting to ski up there in Bend, or...?
No, I'm not skiing this weekend, but I'm...
Just looking at the snow? Just a
snow
licker? I'm here
with friends and family. It's been a phenomenal weekend.
Oh,
nice.
Feeling.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
We love you, Shelley.
Thanks very much
Thank
for taking
you.
A break.
Thank you, too.
You can find all the information about CareNet and our guests that we just had for the past hour on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Again, a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with your host Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff. The program was originally broadcast on January 3rd of this year here on AM 1460 KCNR, where currently we have sunny skies, 64 degrees, going for a high of 68 this afternoon, 20% chance of showers tonight and tomorrow. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of We the People as we once again wish you a happy Easter from all of us here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Dutch prosecutors say police have arrested a 32-year-old Frenchman in the port city of Rotterdam at the request of French authorities, who suspect him of involvement in planning a terror attack. They say that French officials requested the arrest Friday after information about the suspect emerged during an investigation. The suspect, whose identity was not released, is expected to be extradited to France soon. Soccer hooligans clad in black have clashed with riot police after rallying in central Brussels. It's where a temporary shrine has been made for victims of Tuesday's attacks. Brussels police spokesman Christian DeConnick says about 340 people from various clubs were involved in the protest.
It was a very difficult police operation because lots of families with kids were here on the Place de la Bourse, and we had some difficulties to confine those hooligans.
Riot police, backed by water cannon, surrounded the group. About 10 people were arrested. 2 police officers were injured. An official in the Pakistani city of Lahore says he thinks that a park was targeted in the bombing attack today because it was a soft target, not because it was filled with Christians celebrating Easter. The attack, which is believed to have been carried out by a suicide bomber, left 60 people dead and 300 wounded. The explosion took place near children's rides in the park. Victory for Bernie Sanders in Democratic presidential caucuses in Washington, Hawaii, and Alaska. The Vermont senator says that now that the campaign has left the South, he will gain ground on Hillary Clinton.
That is the conservative part of our country, but we knew things were going to improve as we headed west.
Still, Clinton has a huge lead in delegates. A spokeswoman says Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel was not satisfied with any of the 3 finalists for the city's top police post recommended by the police board, so none of the 3 was offered the position. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got 1 easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
Former Mexican President Vicente Fox has intensified his message to U.S. voters to reject Donald Trump.
In a 10-minute film recorded against the backdrop of the library, ex-Mexican President Vicente Fox started by urging America, wake up. He said he and millions of Mexican neighbors in the United States remain deeply disturbed and offended by the rhetoric of Donald Trump. And Fox again used the F word when referring to Trump's intended border wall, which he explains would not be paid for by Mexicans, but instead by U.S. taxpayers. Fox warns that extreme policies will start trade wars from which everyone will lose, especially the United States. And as a great nation, it needs to avoid isolationism. Fox says traditions, friendships, and links must be maintained and strengthened, not severed, in a worrying climate which is damaging Mexican-U.S. relations. James Blears, Mexico.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. California could soon claim the largest statewide minimum wage in the nation, correspondent Patrick Foss has the story.
State legislators and labor unions have reached a tentative agreement that will take the state's minimum wage from $10 to $15 an hour over a period of years. The legislature must still approve the deal, but supporters are hopeful. Patrick Foss reporting.
President Obama and his family back at the White House after attending Easter service at a historic black church in Alexandria, Virginia. It traces its origins to when Thomas Jefferson was president. The Obamas also visited the church last Easter. The pastor at the Alfred Street Baptist Church encouraged the congregation to have faith that if God could raise Jesus from the dead, he can help them get through their hardships. The Obamas spent about an hour at the service before returning to the White House, where preparations for tomorrow's annual Easter egg roll are underway. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People from January 3rd of this year. Get ready for hour number two now on AM 1460 KCNR.
Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. We're not exactly shifting gears. We're going to continue on with Pastor Guy Asherman. He's here from Reading Christian Fellowship. And if you're listening to us on the East Coast, it's okay. It's you know, your basic Christian church. Yeah. You have them too. I just don't know what they're called.
They're called Christian churches.
They're just called Christian churches, I think. Yeah, probably. So, you know, we were talking the first hour. We were chatting with Shelley from CareNet. And if you've missed that hour, I do hope you go back and listen to it. There are some creepy, scary laws coming. And if California's doing it, unfortunately, we're broadcasting from the hub of stupidity here. And actually, it's like the hub of evil at this point, because this is just not a good direction to take. So you had pointed out some stuff that I think people should probably hear. We get all the good intel on the break.
Well, you know, you're so right about this dark and light, that even in churches we're afraid to call sin sin anymore.
Oh, yeah, because that would be mean.
It would be mean. It would be intolerant. You would be a bigot, you know. So even within our Christian communities, we have become a little bit hesitant to buy into the language of the Scriptures. And we kind of hide that underneath being culturally sensitive. And in the name of cultural sensitivity, we have watered down the message of light versus dark so much so that people can't even see the difference anymore. Well, because in large part, there isn't that much of a difference. But as a message of hope, and many churches, many, many, many churches do believe that the darker it gets, the lighter the light will shine.
That's true.
The brighter it will shine. And the contrast is going to become greater and greater. And so I just tell people, let it shine, you know. And the Lord will take care of all of the rest of it, whatever that means. But we were talking during the break about this idea of belief systems. And I think that's what you were asking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have this notion that a secular society, which we are, is a neutral society. And I want to suggest that there is no worldview, there is no philosophy that is neutral. Every system of belief or unbelief is a system of belief. So there are people today, many, many of them in this country, who are saying, well, I don't believe. Well, what they mean by that is I don't believe in God. But they definitely do believe in something.
Sure, they've got a view.
Sure.
They've got a personal opinion or a personal view.
Over everything.
Well, even if you're an atheist, that's a belief in something.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a belief in...
Well, it's a belief in science, it's a belief in rational thinking, and yada, yada. There are things that we're trying to build in this country by design that I disagree with. This idea of diversity that says that we can all be as diverse as we want to be, and we're all free to be whoever we want to be. The problem is that whatever group happens to be in power is not going to let everybody else do it.
Yeah.
Christians, of course, have been accused of that for centuries. Interestingly enough now, it's the shoe's on the other foot. And I don't think it means that one is worse or bad more than the other. I think it just points to the reality that we all live by a worldview. We all live by a system of belief or unbelief that elevates to some level, ours over yours. Otherwise, we wouldn't believe it, right?
Right.
So obviously, I have a belief system that I think is better than others, because if theirs was better, I would then have their belief system.
You would
system.
Join them.
Right. So what is coming, and I think that there is a very strong spiritual element with this, and I don't know that I can articulate it well. I need to work on it. But it is interesting to me that when people change in their worldview, they don't change in one area or two. It seems like people are going lock, stock, and barrel with this or with this. And so when people say, by way of, you know, I'm neutral, I'm secular, I don't have any biases or prejudices, I find that these people actually buy into a whole arena of systems.
They're usually super hardcore biased against people who have a religious worldview.
Yeah.
And it's ugly.
It is very ugly.
I mean, all you have to do is go online and look at any article that broaches this subject, and you see the really
venom.
Extreme, really extreme. Which
well,
is
a lot of what you hear, too, is people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. That's where all the problems start. So I just practice in my own way. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't know that a person has to be a part of organized religion. I'm not altogether sure I know what they mean. I'm not altogether sure they know what they mean. Obviously, our walk with God is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Our salvation, our experience of having our sins forgiven, and our the gifting of eternal life, that has powerful, powerful impact on people's lives. Usually, however, when people say, well, I'm not a part of organized religion, is their way of saying, I just reject the message of religion altogether. It's kind of a...
And I'm all for silencing them, by the way.
Yeah.
Usually. That's the...
Well, that's the other part of it. That's the other part of it.
I
want to believe what I believe, but I don't want you to be able to organize against my belief.
I actually have a comment about this idea of choosing what it is that we believe. The word heretic in the New Testament, the Greek word, is actually a word that can be translated one who chooses. And I don't even think that Christians have a right to choose what they believe. We either believe truth or we don't.
Yeah.
Okay, so this smorgasbord idea of I'm going to pick and choose whatever it is that I think meets best with my needs is actually the definition of heresy. There's no room for that in Scripture. I know people love that, and that's, you know, it's part of our pop psychology, pop Christian kind of society we live in. But from the strictest standpoint, from the Word, God tells me what to believe. I don't decide what to believe.
But having said that, how do we justify all the different Christian denominations.
Right.
How do we do that? Because I think a lot of the denominations spring from previous denominations that maybe believed in something that they didn't believe in, so they broke away and started their own.
Ditched the part they didn't like.
Ditched the part they didn't like, and now we have our own.
Sure. Well, I think the church has not been real good at choosing what hill do we die on. They have not been real good at deciding what are the majors versus what are the minors in the things that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we live in a very diverse Christian world today with all kinds of different denominations, hundreds if not thousands of them, I would venture to say that a vast majority of those would agree collectively with 95% of what the other is teaching.
Yeah.
But because we do choose to major on minors, we choose those little areas sometimes to be an element that we decide to break off on. Now, I don't know that that's bad. We fellowship with people that we have the most harmony with in terms of how we feel, how we worship, and those kinds of things. So I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. But when it comes time to be a fellow stone thrower at a common enemy, those differences need to go away. That's probably not the best analogy in the world to use. But I can stand with any church in Redding, California, against certain things that are a threat to all of us. It doesn't mean we're going to sit down together and
worship. The problem is, what happens, it's weird. I mean, I'll just be offensive. We turn into the French, you know, when there's a threat. You know, the terror level goes from run to hide. So the French are actually doing a pretty good job these days. All those jokes are kind of not right anymore, but the churches kind of hide, like this issue of of the pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
I wonder how many churches will actually come out and support them, seeing that it's their issue,
yeah,
when it's kind of like, hey, they're not here for us. So,
well, I think a lot of them are really, you know, really afraid to be on the front line.
On the radar.
On the radar,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly, and end up being on somebody's government list and lose their, which I don't know if it's ever been done. They always say, well, I don't want to lose
nonprofit.
Know, my nonprofit status as a church, so I'm not going to push the envelope.
What
here,
would happen if they did that? What would happen if churches collectively just said, hey, you know what? We don't care. You can't hold that over us anymore. Fine. Tax us.
Well, that would be wonderful if all the churches did that. The problem is all the churches
won't. Well, they won't.
They
but,
won't.
But what if they did? I mean, would that, is that really a deal breaker?
It's more complicated, and let me explain
yeah,
why.
Yeah, that I guess because I hear this a lot.
The idea of the church being exempt from the sovereignty of the state, we happen to think that the church itself is sovereign under God. We also think that the government is sovereign only under God. But we do not think the government is over the church, and we do not think the church is over the government. It doesn't mean that God isn't in both. It just means as an organization, the church and the state are different entities, but they can still have the same beliefs, as obviously our founding fathers had the same belief as the
Well, our founding fathers did, but I guess I have to take issue with that. I'm not sure our government does support a godly view at this point.
No, I don't think they do either.
No.
No, not at all. But getting back to this idea of sovereignty and taxation, the government hasn't forever been giving, since 1776, tax-exempt status to churches. In fact, the IRS Form 1023 that you have to fill out in order to get a 501c3 status actually says you don't have to file it in order to be a church. But what has happened is, you know, Christians are cooperative. We're good people. We want to help the state. We don't want to be stick in the muds. We, you know, we understand that government has responsibilities under God. And so are there people who are abusing the nonprofit status? Clearly there are people who abuse that. So we work with, we help, and so forth. But the idea of actually being sovereign and not a subject of the state, the idea that we actually cannot be taxed by the state, is not determined whether or not we have a slip of paper in our file somewhere that says the government tells us we can or cannot be taxed. What determines whether or not a church is taxed is determined by the sovereignty of Jesus over his church. So if the state comes in and taxes the church, the church is, and the church pays it, the church is acknowledging that the state is over the church and the church is subject to the government. So whether or not they give us that classification or not, and churches, by the way, very divided on this issue, almost all of them.
Really?
Oh, they don't even want to talk about it.
No.
We've gone from run to hide.
Yeah. But so, you know, churches today, we don't pay taxes not because the government says so. We don't pay taxes because Jesus is Lord. It's his church. They're here people as they assemble. Now, as individuals, clearly we pay taxes. As individuals, I am a subject of the state, and I do have to obey that law. But the assembled group of believers that we call church, that the Bible calls church, is an entity that is owned by Jesus Christ. And Jesus, believe it or not, Uncle Sam, does not owe taxes to you. Jesus Christ is actually above you. It's not under you.
All day.
Yeah, every day.
All day, every day. We have to take a really quick break. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back.
Reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People, originally broadcast on January 3rd of this year. And you're hearing it on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors.
Russell Cleaning Services, both residential and commercial cleaning. Shasta Athletic Club, the place for fitness in Reading. Revolve Solar, save on those energy bills. And Authority Property Management, the pros in property management.
Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents an American classic, Our Town, Thornton Wilder's masterpiece, directed by John Welsh. Our Town is a moving look into the lives and hopes of the residents of a small town in the early 20th century. Our Town begins March 12th with evening shows Friday and Saturday, matinees on Sunday through April 9th at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Tickets for Our Town available now online at CascadeTheater.org or by calling 243-8877.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Probably not going to hear that one either.
The 60s was a decade of enlightenment, wasn't it?
It really was. Can you believe it? I play a lot of 60s music. It all has meaning. So somebody sent me this. I modified it a teeny bit because it had political parties that I frankly didn't think it fit. But
okay.
To all our liberal listeners, please accept please accept with no obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday practiced within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice or secular practices of your choice. That's a very long sentence. I have to keep reading. With respect for the religious, secular persuasion and or traditions of others or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. We also wish you a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year of 2016, but not without due respect for the calendars of other choices of other cultures whose contributions to society have helped make America great. Not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country, nor that only America in the West is that only America is in the Western Hemisphere. Also, the wish is made without regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, or sexual preference. And then to all our conservative listeners, Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Thank you, Tom, from Palisadro. I read that last night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, isn't that just the hell of
it? It's about the way it's got to be.
Good grief.
It's terrible. It really is.
It's just about that stupid.
Yeah. Because secularism is not neutral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to have, I mean, honestly, all those disclaimers are things that we read about all the time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. How do you ever arrive at a, it's no wonder we can't get anywhere, you know?
Sure.
We can't fix it. People are like, well, we can't fix anything. Well, we can't fix it because we can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, Brown University has to have an underground group where they talk about, where they can talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secret club.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah. Well, a politically correct system that we now live under has eliminated our freedom of speech. I think we all know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's judging everything on the basis of their values and not anybody
else. Yeah, freedom of speech today has definitely got a price
tag. Well, it has consequences.
It. Yes.
Can I read a couple quotes
Please do.
With you guys? This is from Daniel Webster. I'm going back to our founding fathers, okay? And he makes a statement that certainly grabs my attention. To preserve government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper.
Hmm.
He's right.
No, absolutely.
Because it is a piece of paper with words on it, and then if we as a charactered or uncharactered people, either we have it or we don't, or mm-hmm. some gray areas in between, but the more corrupt we become in terms of our view of human nature, in terms of our views of God, that in fact the Constitution does not support us because our form of government requires a charactered people who govern themselves. That's what freedom is. Freedom is not the right to do anything you please to do. Freedom means you have the right to govern your own life without us imposing, you know, how you should live your life. The problem today is that we've become so irresponsible socially and morally that we don't manage our own lives. So there takes this big, huge monster of a bureaucracy that has to step in and say, okay, we're in charge now because obviously you can't handle it.
Yeah, the government is our new morality.
But we allow that. Oh.
We
allow
do. It's our
totally
fault.
It's our fault.
Yes, no question. Mm-hmm. No question. I wanted to share a couple of other things in regards to this idea that unbelief is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking for decades about the Humanist Manifesto. I'm assuming that perhaps that's something you guys know of. Humanism is not humanitarianism. Listeners need to know it's
yeah, it's
two
not
different
excessive
things.
Niceness.
It's not. Humanism is a philosophy, a worldview that has an agenda. It doesn't include God, so they don't call it a belief system, but clearly it is a belief system. Here are some things that they say. And I'm quoting now from the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. The Humanist Manifesto 1 was like 1933. The second one was 1973. And as I read that document, and I encourage all your listeners, it's a very, very small, thin paperback. It takes an hour to read it. But as I read through this, I'm saying, you know what? They've done it. From 1973, they said this is what we're going to do, and they have done it.
Well, that's the long game.
It is the long game,
yep.
And we get impatient, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But this is what they say about salvation. They say salvationism is harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven thereafter. Reasonable minds look to other means for survival. Humanism offers an alternative to faith that can serve present-day needs and guide humankind toward the future. The next century, which would be the one we're currently in, they said in 1973, the next century can be and should be the humanistic century. So you begin to see a part of what their belief system and structure is. Yes, they don't believe in God, but it's not just a neutral position on who God is. It is an antithetical position. If I could read some more, is that okay?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
I'm a field day. I'm linking the Humanist Manifesto online as we speak.
Awesome. They say traditional moral codes fail. Messianic ideologies cannot cope with existing world realities. They separate rather than unite people. Truth has a way of doing that, right? Traditional dogmatic and authoritarian religions do a disservice to the human species. Belief in the supernatural, it is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of survival and fulfillment of the human race. We are non-theists. Well, they're actually anti-theists. So that's the philosophy that has captured our society today. This is who we are.
Well, it's an easier path to follow. You don't really have the big rules anymore. You know, you do what feels right to you, and nobody will judge you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be fine.
And there's never consequences.
Never consequences. No.
No.
No. And the sad part is that takes a long time to really seep into our society, but more and more people are believing it now, and it is coming to pass.
It is.
It is. And that's why I say I just wish the Christian community could somehow unite, because there's so many things, like you said, that we do agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unite on those things. And that would be probably the strongest and largest voting bloc in this country, even mm-hmm. though we aren't a Judeo-Christian country.
I think something like 34% of Christians voted.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is for the general population, but it just seems like we as Christians, we're the ones that do the most screaming and hollering, and yet we don't get out and do anything about it.
Well, it's all about perfection. You know, if it isn't, we were talking about...
If it isn't Jesus.
Well, and we killed him, so obviously we're not even really all that accepting of perfection.
Right.
But we keep looking for it.
Sure.
I think that's going to be the trick in 2016, is to help people understand that, well, not voting has a consequence. Again, that not belief system is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
The people who didn't vote in 2012 did vote.
Exactly.
Not playing isn't.
Yeah.
So it has consequences.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas on how to get the Christian vote out? I mean, is there any... like magic bullet that nobody has discovered yet to get these people out and vote?
Well, many churches do have, you can register to vote. We don't tell people what party they should register for. And so we do, a lot of churches do take significant steps to get people involved with it. We oftentimes teach, especially around election time, that if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so please get out and vote, and please vote your biblical values. And so we're trying. We're not quite sure what the magic answer to that is.
Well, people will say all the time, I don't want to pick the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And so I just won't vote.
So I won't vote.
Well, by not voting, they have picked the greater of two evils.
Exactly.
Yes. They've chosen the third worst choice.
Yeah. And I don't think folks really understand that. I think they get this year. Let's face it, this year is going to be frustrating politically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of bad things
happen. I think we're going to have to vote for the best, worst candidate. Unfortunately, that's the way it's got to be.
Well, there are no perfect people.
There are no perfect candidates.
I always laugh. I tell people, I'm going to pick somebody who doesn't hate the country. So pick somebody who doesn't hate the country, who doesn't hate the citizens, and who isn't maybe a socialist, communist, or Marxist.
Yeah, good luck.
I guess my needs are preferably, they're getting smaller.
Yeah.
And
I, in all honesty, and I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier, that this is our fault, Bill, that I don't think a politician...
Yeah, Bill.
I didn't say Bill is the fault. I said it's not our fault. Bill said
I misunderstood.
But
I turned over the rock.
No, in agreement to what you have said, I don't think politics is going to save this country.
No.
And I don't even know what qualifies as a definition of save this country. I think we mean returning to some values that we used to have. But if we're not prepared as a people in terms of our own character, of accepting responsibility for our lives and making good moral choices, a politician isn't going to be able to help us. Politicians that we have are simply a reflection of who we, the voters, have put into
place.
That's
the funny part. Yeah. People will complain all the time, well, we need to get rid of, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Like, I think she gets like 80% of the vote in her district.
Right, yeah.
That's not our, we don't have the ability to get rid of her. But they look at it like the people in Congress elected themselves.
Yeah.
Like they voted for each other.
Yeah.
Like they're all from different districts. They don't even get to vote for each
other.
The bottom
line is they got elected by the people in their district. So let's take a look at the district and see what's going on there.
Yeah. And a lot of times those are places where people stay at home.
And if it's not working out well for you, let's redraw those lines of those districts to make sure that we can get reelected.
But you look at like the Al Frankens of the world and you think, what? How did that happen?
Yeah. But I do think that there has to be a cultural revival.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything is going to change. And, of course, from my worldview perspective, I think that means God needs to intervene and we need to see hearts changed individually, heart by heart by heart, is how we have to be able to see the fruit of our faith being lived out in our communities, which then in time has a greater impact upon what our whole culture and society is.
Well, you see it, just in case people weren't sure that we were in like a good versus evil, I don't think it gets more clear than the whole Muslim thing where they're going to chop off people's heads and things like that. It doesn't really get more evil than that.
Yeah, how do you not see this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It isn't like it's a subtle subtle mind war, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're going to come right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to an encore presentation of We the People, originally broadcast on January 3rd of this year. You're hearing it on AM 1460, KCNR.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Kind of the song for the year.
We need a driver.
Yeah, please. Please take the wheel. It's not going well. We're careening. You're rejoining We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Pastor Guy Asherman. We're kind of talking about, New Year stuff. Christianity. Last year wasn't a good year for Christians.
This year's going to be worse.
I think this year's going to be a ton worse. I hate to be a negative
Nancy, but... It's going to be a very, testing year.
And for those folks that follow us online, I did find kind of an interesting list of the top 10 most read stories of the persecuted church. It was 2015 in review, and it has all those linked. And the pictures, you know, the classic pictures, crosses being taken off churches, a boatload of refugees, and the guys in the orange jumpsuits with the scary ISIS guys behind them. It was that kind of year.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't see that changing, do you?
Well, I don't think we have the resolve or the conviction. It gets back to right and wrong.
Yeah.
And there is also a real fundamental basic difference in our understanding of what's wrong with mankind. Because, you know, the word on the street today is that, you know, these poor people who are cutting people's heads off, they have been rejected and they've been ridiculed. And, you know, it's whatever we have done to them as a country, to other countries, that has made them hate us. We're very naive about this idea that human nature is good. If you're nice to people, they will be nice back. That's not true.
Yeah,
we as human beings, including myself, we have a great capacity for evil. And without the direction, of course, from my worldview, it would be the leadership of God in my life that says there are things you can do and things you shouldn't do, God.
Sure.
Wise up or I'm going to knock you alongside the head. And I didn't mean that literally. I guess I have to be careful here.
No, you really
don't. It
feels
like a living room sitting here, you know, and I have to remember that, no, there's more people listening.
There are other people out there. That's okay. They'll get over it.
And that's the whole thing also with humanism. I applaud some of their ideals. They want a better world. They want a happier world. They just happen to believe that if we are kinder and nicer, that we can produce that. I think that we have too many thousands of years of human history that indicates that it's not quite that easy. And there are people who are evil. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's associated with whatever their religion is. Are there Christians who are evil? There sure are.
Sure.
And so, you know, fundamentally we have to evaluate our faith in mankind. You either have a faith in God or you have a faith in mankind, or, you know, some gray areas in between there. But I think that an awful lot of the secular folks today, they have a greater faith in mankind than I do. I'm not that optimistic. Is that terrible?
No, because you look at it and you think, okay, the good people, again, have kind of moved their terror threat from run to hide. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, you at first maybe you run away from it, right. But at some point, you know, I always think about our, we had this dog, he used to like to chase cats, but he was really afraid of them. And so he'd run and run and run, and if the cat...
Until he caught him.
Well, the cat would stop. Like, yeah. There was this one time he's running to beat the band, he's a little dog, you know, he's running along, and the cat stops, turns around and faces him, and if he could have been whistling, he like walked by like... like hardly saw you there. Whoa, almost ran right over you. You know, like, and that's kind of what we're doing as a society. Mm-hmm. Is we chase it. When it turns around and stares us in the face, it's like, woo, didn't know that was coming.
It's all rhetoric.
We don't.
No action.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I think sometimes it's, again, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're a, you
right.
know.
Right.
And at some point, we're going to have to kind of call that and say, you know, I don't think you can take over our whole country. I don't think you can come here and blow things up and kill people. And
it doesn't matter what your religion is. You're going to kill people.
Yeah. And it isn't workplace violence, and we know that. And it isn't, all those things.
I think we're starting to see the general attitude of people starting to change a little bit. I mean, we've been going through this now for this whole PC thing for a lot of years. And I think it's crested. I think it's got to the point now where people
are swinging so far the other way.
And I think that's human nature is to really swing hard the other way before we get back to a neutral position. But I think people are finally starting to realize that there are people out there that don't think like we think, that aren't raised like we were raised, that don't like us and want to kill us. Mm-hmm. And
well, and then let's go a little farther to my favorite topic, wolves. You know, we need to have apex predators, you know, right there on the edge of our community.
Well, we are swinging hard.
I know. See, you see me go? Yeah. Well, it's because, you know why? Because I was reading this humanist thing, their little list of affirmations. Mm-hmm. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Mm-hmm. Two thumbs down. Humanism believes that man is part of nature. Mm-hmm. See how I got there?
We're an animal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. And it's like, what?
I think
Bill's mom's going on a trip to Ecuador. So I said, well, what's going on in Ecuador anyway? Over Christmas, you know. And she goes, well, I don't know. So I looked on my phone. I thought, well, hey, let's get some fun facts for you. So I'm looking at the population, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, in Ecuador, animals, bugs, trees, and like flora and fauna have rights. They have lawyers. They get to have lawyers.
We're kind of there. We're kind of there.
No, I'm super not kidding. I forgot to tell you that.
Huh.
Yeah, your mom's going to a place where she could be tried by a leaf. That's not good.
She won't be tried by a leaf. But
and it's not the $60,000 car.
There might be a leaf on the jury, but...
Yeah. It's some moss of your peers.
But I agree with you, Bill.
But how nutty is that?
I think that hopefully we have turned a corner. And
I have to believe we have. I just kind of see that.
It's gone far enough?
Yeah.
We've gone to the precipice, looked over, and we're coming back.
It's so ridiculous that even those who are for it are kind of shying away from it because it's like, no, I don't want to be associated with that. That's too crazy for me.
Right, right.
This thing that happened down in San Bernardino, it took us a week or two to say it was terrorism.
Right.
You know, in France, that day they were calling it terrorism.
I know. See,
you
know, they've...
Because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody who blows people up. You know, yeah. It's absurd.
Well, they're raiding their churches over there, and they're finding all sorts of stuff. Gee, imagine that, that they're teaching people how to be terrorists there, that they're storing weapons, that they have videos showing you how to build bombs in these quote-unquote churches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are not churches.
Right.
Those are training points.
That's exactly right.
And unfortunately, we don't seem to be willing to say that. And oddly enough, I mean, the same thing with our environmental policy. You know, we're not willing to say that some of this stuff is completely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guys, the show right before us, and we were reading a little bit about it online with the Hammond family up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They had a fire that burned off their property onto public land, and now they're being put in prison? A 70-year-old man going to prison?
Didn't they have, like, a local militia group kind of show up here recently?
Yeah, which they weren't happy about because then it sort of messed up their message. But bottom line is, why are we putting people in prison for...
doing what the land needs.
Yeah, and it burned over the line, you know. But look at the EPA. They poisoned a whole river. And, oh, I'm sorry, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oops.
Yeah. It's very interesting. We're seeing those really radical inequities. You know.
I saw one today.
Yes.
Before our services started, I was just kind of reading through, surfing a little bit, what's the latest. Because if something happens that's drastic, I need to mention it in church, right?
Oh, sure.
So I'm just reading through, and I saw this article. Governor Jerry Brown has some property just a short ways from Williams.
Yeah.
And he has a little shed on it that is big enough to put an air mattress in to sleep on. And he also has an outhouse. And so he loves it there. He's, you know, he goes there like many weekends during the year, and they love it and everything. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, outhouses are illegal, Governor Brown. In the state of California, it's illegal to have an outhouse.
Really?
It is.
I did not know that.
It is. And so
we have outhouse police now?
We do, yes. We have police for everything.
So they're the same ones that police you if you try to... put water on your driveway during the drought.
Oh, yeah.
That same guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I
Bill is still bitter about
that. I drifted
that.
There.
Well, all I'm saying is that even the people who are passing these laws, I don't think they believe
don't
them either.
Them.
Yeah, no.
Well, you see that a lot. You see that a lot with the agency things, and they can get away with whatever they want.
Another example that I came across here a couple of weeks ago talking with some folks who worked for Cal Fire, they can get as much overtime as they want. If they're fighting a fire, they're not required to log in, log out this many hours and so forth. But if they have a contractor who's out there helping them, they are restricted. So we're making laws that everybody else in the private sector has to abide by, but we don't have to.
Right.
It's very common.
The government doesn't have to.
Right.
Right.
That's the same property near Williams that Governor Brown looked into to see if it was frackable.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right.
That's why I was chuckling.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was it frackable? They got mad at him that he was even asking. Was
it? Evidently it is.
Oh, God.
But he's against capitalism and growth and, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going to be...
But if it's on my property, it's okay.
Woohoo! Cash cow!
Yeah.
I know.
If the property ends up in the state of Jefferson, how awkward will that be?
Oh. Kind of awesome, actually. I feel like we took him hostage. Or gave him back, actually.
He would move.
Yeah, yeah. We'll trade you out.
Yeah, I don't think he would be in power.
Well, it is kind of... That kind of thing, that type of inequity, that's brought down... Mm-hmm. civilizations in the past.
You know, if for those readers who, you're exactly right. It does bring down because people have no confidence or mm-hmm. trust in anybody. But for your readers who are familiar with the scriptures or have an interest in it, in Isaiah chapter 59, there is a very, very good description of this idea that truth has fallen in the streets and equity or fairness is not allowed to enter. And those who try to stand up for what is right make themselves prey to those who are against you. And that's the way it is today. The more we stand up for what is right, the more people attack us, the more we become hunted and sought after by those who want to silence our message. And I think that's, you know, it was true 3,000 years ago, and it's kind of true today. And I guess it's been true off and on through civilization
yeah,
since the beginning
of time. But it's really becoming obvious.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, even within... it just seems like everybody's having a thing. I was just looking at the Saudi Arabia severs diplomatic ties with Iran. Because they killed somebody. They killed the Shiite cleric.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, we're going to take our ambassador guys back. We're going to close our deal. You're out.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be able to figure it out.
No, I don't think so. The world is very confused. Our country is very confused. And there's actually some biblical... references to the confusion that comes.
We're doing smoke signals over here.
So, yeah, interesting times. I've been terribly negative here today. I think...
Not that we've given you any material.
No, right. From a positive standpoint...
Yeah.
I think conscience and self-respect are two very, very incredibly important attributes for people to have. And I think what matters is that each of us individually lives by the dictates of our own conscience, no matter if anybody else is or not. Because then we're able to hold our chin high and say, I did what I believe to be right in my conscience before my God. I respect myself for standing firm. I'm not angry because I didn't. By the way, I think that that's why the entitlement nation is so angry today, is because we have deprived people from self-respect.
Yes.
And when you lack self-respect, you're an angry person. And I think, you know...
Well, you just don't have the value. You don't have the self-worth that allows you to stand up and be proud of yourself.
We never gave them the opportunity to go after it themselves. We bailed a little bit too soon for a lot of folks. And that's not mm-hmm. to be... unkind to people who genuinely need it. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, hold your head high, believe what you believe, stand for it, and whatever happens around us, it happens.
It's interesting. This just came in my email. The devil whispers, "You cannot withstand the storm," and the warrior replies, "I am the storm."
Yeah, that's good.
It's like, that'd be like our year this year. All right, we're going to come right back. Take one last quick break. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Maria Orozco. The Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino would like to thank everyone who attended Villains Year to Remember, because there is one in all of us. We would like to thank the Keyhole Mystery Theater and Front and Center Dance Studio for their wonderful entertainment. It always brings us joy to recognize the amazing organizations we partner with. It's because of organizations like you that our area is a true community. The Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino would also like to thank all our sponsors for their support.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hey yourself, you know what you must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. Gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go when you die. When you die and you lay it to rest, you're gonna go to the place that's the best.
Now see, that one we can play today, because that's always a good song.
Yeah.
So in our last, 5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have for folks?
Let me give you another quote or two. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
This was a statement made by John Adams, one of our founders and second president of the United States. He says, "Statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." It was a very clear understanding in the founding of our country that if freedom is going to exist, it has to exist because people have the capacity to govern their own lives. Faith in God certainly helps us to be able to do that. And then he says something that's really quite startling. He says, "We have no government armed in power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other."
As we're watching right now.
Yeah.
As we try to force our government on people that have never been governed like that.
Yeah, but even in our own system, people want we need to stop this, that, or the other. And it's like, hey, read your Constitution. Mm-hmm. There is no provision for lawless.
Right.
I mean, we were never designed to have a lawless
executive
branch. I mean, whoever thought we'd have a president who just broke the law all the time?
Right, right.
There's no rule in there for that. That right. was the rule.
The rule was take care of yourselves, people. And when you stop taking care of yourselves, then we're going to have to do it for you. And we're all, and today our society is saying, okay, take care of me. But we surrender our freedom for security, right? Mm-hmm. And who was
And then we get neither.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 When we swap over, then yeah. we get nothing. So we're watching the Second Amendment is going to have heavy, heavy weight put on it this year.
Yeah.
Well, they're already,
Tomorrow night he's going to make some kind of a address to the nation about some kind of executive action he's going to make on gun control. That's tomorrow.
That'll go over well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
And then we're going to chip away at, I think we've already chipped away significantly at First Amendment.
Very much so.
And now we're going to infringe on the churches.
Mm-hmm. We're no longer a nation of laws. We used to be. We're no longer. We're a nation of whims. And whoever's in charge gets to just willy-nilly make their own choices.
Or just pick the laws we want to abide by.
Yeah, enforce those we like.
That's right. And totally ignore the rest of them.
Sure.
Yeah, and what do you do about that? You know, something will go to the Supreme Court to be interpreted. And they've been all over the place.
We don't have much confidence there either.
No. So we are kind of flying by that net a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you advise people? Like when you talk about this at in your church, what do you tell folks?
About specifically?
Take a deep breath, take care of your own stuff. I mean.
Yes, sort of. I say it's your life, be responsible for it under the Lord's guidance. And, it's not anybody else's job to do that. It's your job to do that. And
And pray like your country depends on it?
Yeah.
you know, work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we need to be involved. I think that Christians have been pushed aside. I also think that there is an element in our Christianity that has isolated itself because we didn't like people calling us names, so we just all went into the corner and sucked our thumb and stayed away from it all. We're a little bit too sensitive in this arena that is quite vicious nowadays in political mm-hmm. circles, that we're nice people. We don't want to get engaged with this unnice kind of communication. And I think that we just have to, you know, we're going to take a few shots on the chin, but that's okay. Get involved and live, number one, live your values. Number two, vote your values.
Exactly.
If you have to choose between the two, live is more important.
Yeah. This isn't the year to pull in your horns and hide. This is the year to be out front, or we'll be ruled by more bad people.
And I'm not sure we're going to stop it. But
if we don't try,
we have to try.
We know for sure we're not going to.
And we'll have the self-respect of knowing we tried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Thank you, guys.
It's going to be an exciting and interesting
yeah.
year. So for folks that are listening, jump online, wethepeopleradio.us, and shoot us your suggestions, people that we can have on this year, folks you'd like to hear from, especially stories that need more than, you know, 5 minutes to be told. We're working on getting some of the information from Oregon. Everybody's hearing about that these days
yeah.
on the Hammond case. So we're working to get somebody who can give us the full
sure.
story.
By the way,
that'll be a biggie.
I'm hoping that we can do another rally in August and have Doug Amalfa there. I also want to have Brian Daly there, our local representatives. I'm also going to get some Christian attorneys up. And
nice.
We're going to talk in pretty good detail about...
And give people
good.
Something to do.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much
Thank
for being with
on.
Us.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
See you next week. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bob. Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
You guys have too much
John
fun.
Indeed, this has been an encore presentation of We the People today on KCNR Shasta Redding. Happy Easter.
From townhall.com, I'm Gordon Griffin. Belgian authorities aren't saying whether this morning's raids in Brussels and other Belgian cities were linked to the investigation into last week's deadly attacks. In all, 13 raids took place in the capital and two northern cities. 4 people were taken into custody. 5 others were released after questioning. Meanwhile, Secretary of State John Kerry says there are still many concerns.
For several years now, foreign fighters have been returning from Syria or from other locations and implanting themselves in the communities. And this is the threat that we've all been aware of.
Mr. Kerry was a guest this morning on CBS's Face the Nation. Amid international criticism of Belgium for serving as a base for extremist fighters, including those who launched the November attacks in France, the Belgian government is admitting some shortcomings in its fight against terror. The country's interior minister says that Belgium's justice system and security services are still lagging behind after